Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, in the Green Scene today, the impact of street lighting on insect nutrition. But first, the sustainability or otherwise of the Olympic Games. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the Olympic Games, how can they be sustainable? Hordes of people travelling across the world on planes, trains and automobiles. Lots of energy used, whether it's to light the stadium and so on and so forth. How can they ever be sustainable?
Well, it's a good question. And I think a lot of critics would say they just can't. As you say, some people would say they're just not necessary, that they kind of play into elite interests and global consumption. And of course, all that transport and investment flow. But there are other academics which would say that the huge amount of money that's spent on the Olympics, I mean, for Paris, that could be close to $9 billion, is a real opportunity to fund and showcase innovative solutions to sustainable living. And of course, there is that thing of the Olympics being a political lever in terms of bringing people together and creating a way for the world to work together. And global cooperation is going to be essential, of course, to deal with the climate crisis. But, you know, of course, there are challenges around sustainability. But Paris this year did aim to be the greenest games ever. So they are for the first time really trying to look at all of the emissions from the Olympic Games. And we've talked about this before, the direct emissions, you know, from things like building, but also things like energy consumption and even those what we call sort of type three emissions, which is the transport of people coming to the Games. So they have aimed to cut the carbon footprint from the average, which is around 3.5 million tons of carbon, to about half of that. And we'll have to wait till the end of the Games to see how they do. But they certainly seem to be well on track to do that.
Now, electricity, by and large, in France is generated through nuclear. So therefore, they can claim that's very green. They also have maintained that you can get to the venues by public transport much more readily than ever before.
They have. And about a third of the emissions from the Games comes from transport in general. Now, a lot of that would be people getting from other countries to the Games. They did ask people to use low carbon travel where possible. And a lot of neighbouring European countries, people did take the trains. But actually, you know, I was in Paris last week and the public transport system was incredible. Not only do they have an amazing eco-designed app to use all of the public transport, there's over 400 kilometres of bike paths. A lot of bikes that you can just, you know, the rental bikes, but also amazing bike security. So manned bike security so that you knew your bike would be there once you came out of the event. So really, and of course, many of the events were in the city centre. So they were very, very easy to access by public transport.
Now, they made their beds from recycled fishing nets and reinforced cardboard and claimed that the bed could take, 200 kilos of weight.
I haven't heard any complaints about the beds, but in general, the infrastructure, I mean, most of the emissions of the Games in general comes from the construction and the operation of the sites. But in Paris, 95% of the infrastructure that they used was already in existence, or they used temporary infrastructure, which was things like low carbon construction buildings that were made of wooden frames. They used low carbon concrete and, as you say, recycled materials. So yes, the beds in the athletes' village used recycled fishing nets and cardboard. Initially, they didn't have air conditioning in the village. They did have to bring that in later when temperatures got higher. And they did connect to the main grid as opposed to using things like generators, because they were in the city centre. And of course, alongside nuclear, France has a lot of geothermal, solar and wind energy, and they used all of that as well. So in terms of compared to other Games, there was 80% less carbon emissions from the energy usage during the course of the Games. But they went on to look at other things. I mean, of course, as you say, the volume of people coming to the Games, there's a huge amount of mouths to feed, and they doubled the amount of plant-based food options, and they focused on local sourcing. Again, I can testify to the fact that they were serving things like courgette quiches at the venues.
Yeah. Did you hear of the complaints of the athletes, worms found in the fish, and not enough protein available to the athletes who needed protein much more than they need carbs? And they've said the food in Tokyo was far, far superior. Now, this is a bit of a dig at the French, who would pride themselves as being the masters of cuisine.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of the athletes will be on very highly managed diets. So, you know, obviously it's made difficult to cater for all of that in general catering. But certainly when you're thinking about the spectators coming, that was where a huge focus was in terms of the volume of catering that they had to deal with and bringing that down. They also have used single-use plastics, so they use things like cup rental schemes to try and minimise the plastic waste from food. In terms of waste, they also obviously there's a huge amount of just equipment, sports equipment used. So that's all going to go on and have a second life with other sports clubs and people. And they also leased a lot of their IT. So again, there can be a huge amount of computers and IT systems bought. So a lot of that is leased. So it'll just go on to be reused again.
Yeah. Now, the impact of climate change, I don't know how the temperatures were in Paris when you were there. Were they overbearing?
It was very, very warm a lot of the time. I mean, last week was up to 35 degrees in Paris, and of course for events that were happening in southern France, up to 40 degrees. So new research from the University of Portsmouth actually modelled the impact of climate change on the temperatures at the Games, and they worked out the temperatures are about 3.1 degrees higher than if the Games had taken place in 1924. So that did impact on some of the sports. They had to put in extra cooling breaks. I mean, as you said, we all heard about water quality being impacted by heavy rain. And as I said, they had to take extra steps to put in like cooling mist showers and a lot of water stations to keep people cool. And so certainly that's going to be a factor in the Games going forward in countries that have high temperatures.
Now, the other topic this week is the impact of lighting, street lights on insect nutrition. And I imagine the insects didn't get much sleep in Paris with all the fireworks and the lights and so on and so forth. But what impact does street lighting have on insect life?
I mean, again, we've talked about street lighting before. It can be very disruptive to nature that's trying to exist in an urban environment. It can scare insects and animals away, but it can also make it easier for other animals to hunt them. But this is new research that looks particularly at insect nutrition. And it was researchers in China that noticed that trees in urban areas showed very little sign of insect damage. They hadn't been chewed up by insects. And they were wondering why that was. So they looked at the two most common species of trees in Beijing, which are the Japanese pagoda tree and the green ash. And they looked at 30 sites that were illuminated at night. And they tested over 5,000 leaves for size and toughness and water contact and levels of nutrients and the amount of chemicals in the leaf. And leaves produce chemicals when they're being there's predators trying to attack them. And what they found was a correlation between more light, more toughness of the leaves. And they don't fully understand why this is happening. It may be that the trees are doing more photosynthesis because they're getting more light at night and that's getting larger leaves, which might be tougher. But it also might be that they're actually producing things like tannin in their leaves to defend themselves against what they perceive as an unusual environment. But of course, what it means is the insects aren't getting food in those urban environments.
So that means that the leaves are too tough for the teeth of the insects and therefore populations die out, I suppose.
Populations are dying out, and we know that about 30% of insect species are threatened with extinction. And I mean, we don't even have great data on all insect species, but for many of us who are out and about this summer, I mean, one thing that they've noticed in the UK is that there's far fewer people coming to A&E with things like wasps stings because they're just not around. They're not buzzing around your barbecue maybe like you remember them being there all the time. And of course, we are so dependent on insects for everything from our pollination, you know, to engineering our soil, to being food for lots of other species. But, you know, this is just yet another impact that possibly we just didn't know about. And we need to take into account when we're thinking about urban planning, we need green spaces that remain dark at night for nature in cities to thrive.
Dr. Ruth Raymond, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland, thank you very much.
Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.